Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we support entrepreneurs to take bold, clear steps to start a business, get stuck, unstuck, or grow with more clarity, confidence, and courage. I'm Leslie Kane, a courage coach and founder of the Why Not Today movement. I created this podcast in honor of my dad, Patrick Kane, who often said, "Why not today?" And now this has been a guiding question in my life and business. Each week you'll hear a solo episode where I coach through some common business challenges and guest interviews that go beyond inspiration to teach what actually works. So whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, you'll leave each episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. Let's dive into Why Not Today, the podcast that helps you grow with courage and by taking action. And FYI, I always share in the beginning that these are not edited, and that's part of the Why Not Today message, that you just need to take action. And so my guest today is Rich, and is it Salon or?
Salon. Yep.
Salon, okay. So I met Rich through LinkedIn. He was somebody that I know, Freddie Donner, I think connected us. Mm-hmm. And he's in the Richmond area, which is a couple hours south of me. We had a great conversation the other day. I love everything you're doing. And so I was excited to have him on the podcast. So Rich, why don't you introduce yourself and a fun fact to get to know you.
Absolutely. Leslie, great to be on your show. And thank you for the Why Not Today movement. I often say, why not now or why not today? So thanks for doing what you do. So fun fact about me, I'm a human resources leader, but I'm also a career coach. And there's a lot of career coaches throughout the country, but I might be the only one in the country that plays on all three sides of the fence. I help people with their job search. I help people focus on consulting, and I help people considering business ownership. Again, I do all three. So I've become a one-stop shop for all things in terms of career search. I'm also, if I don't mind adding, I'm going to become a wish granter for adults.
Now that is the thing I'm really intrigued about.
Yeah, I'm going to be a wish granter for adults diagnosed with a terminal illness. My mom passed away, I would tell you, when I was a child, and I don't remember anybody offering her a final wish. And I believe everybody deserves a final wish. So that's what I'm pursuing. That will be my life's legacy. So I can honestly say my best work is ahead of me.
I love that. And I'm going to connect with my friend Ray with Make-A-Wish.
Oh, terrific. Thank you.
So I'm going to go to a total pivot here, but just talk about a movie I just saw. Have you heard the movie, heard about Soul on Fire?
No, I haven't.
Highly recommend it. I don't know if it's going to be out much longer, but I'm sure it'll be on Netflix or streaming. But it's about a kid that at 9 years old, a stupid boy was playing with fire because he saw some other boys doing it and blew up his house and completely burned himself 100%. He was burned 100% of his body and there was no chance he would live. He has obviously lived and speaks and has written books. He wrote Live on Fire, On Fire, I think it's called. And then they just had a movie out that I saw this weekend and just such a powerful message. But the message was, yes, he survived, but it talked about all the heroes that helped with his journey. Like one doctor came in with new doctors and said, who has kept John alive? Who is the most important person? And they're like, you, the doctor, and they're talking about the nurses. He said, no, it's the janitor. That the fact that he kept his room clean, otherwise he never would have survived if he would have gotten an infection. But just,
I will see that movie.
Just an amazing, as I said, it's not going to be out long, but it'll be streaming. But great book and totally a pivot, but I think it aligns with what you're doing. And just, we have to be heroes for other people.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So what's a fun fact about Rich? Just personal fun. Like what's that fun thing that when you go to the icebreaker and say, not a business thing, but
so
nobody would know.
Fun fact about me. I've lived on both coasts. I grew up in California, lived on both coasts. And, it's been amazing. I think it's been a part of my life's journey. So explored the West Coast up and down California, Washington, Arizona, Oregon, and now up and down the East Coast. It's been amazing. And to see the difference between the two in terms of lifestyles. And, I got to tell you, I wish everybody has the opportunity to experience both coasts, and not for 6 months or a year or a vacation. I was fortunate to live 20 years on the West Coast and now 19 years on the East Coast. So it's been a great ride. It's really a it, I got to tell you, I think it's enhanced my life.
That's awesome. Well, I did not long term, but I did like 6 months on the West Coast. We lived there when my grandfather passed away, and then lived on the East Coast the rest of my life. But yeah, it was a different, you got to see a whole different side of things. So, Rich,
Absolutely.
what does courage mean to you?
You know, courage means to me, you've got to take action in different aspects of your life, regardless if it's personal or professional. But there's no guarantees. There's risks in every decision we make. There's potential pain, potential fear, but nothing is guaranteed. So courage is just making the decision, go forward, act on it, regardless of the potential risks. Look, worst case scenario, if something goes bad, you take the learnings and try to prevent it from happening again in the future. But take the chance. Like Wayne Gretzky says, you're going to miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
So true. I heard somebody the other day talking about entrepreneurship, and it's a journey from not from A to Z, but A to B and B to C and C to D. You know, we start here, we don't arrive here. You got to hit the steps and you got to try things, and they're not all going to work. John Maxwell often says, if you fall, pick up the lessons before you stand up.
There you go.
So, all right. So let's talk about your entrepreneur journey. So your tagline is the HR guy. And so where did that come from? And then how did that evolve into a business? And I always ask people in sharing your story, like, what are some why not say moments in that story? Like, you remember exactly where you were, what you're doing when you made a decision that took a total pivot in your life.
Yeah. So the nickname Rich the HR guy is about 20 years old. It was given to me by the Home Depot. I was on the corporate HR team there, and it was an incredible experience. And I was the first HR person for the company's distribution centers for the Western United States. And somebody came up with Rich the HR guy, and it stuck. So it's been about a 20-year nickname. But my career has been corporate HR. You know, I helped build Home Depot and Lowe's, Penske, Circuit City, and also the 7-Eleven 7-Eleven Corporation.
So on Circuit City, I was telling somebody the other day your story, and I have no idea who it is. And whoever it was, a woman, I don't remember who it was, but she knows somebody that was in Circuit City when it dissolved, and you probably know the person, but
Yeah.
I got to think about who it is. Sorry.
So Circuit City, I was number 92 at Circuit City.
Wow.
January 16, 2009, I was employee number 92. When I left Circuit City after the stores closed, it was only 91 people employed. But at Circuit City, they asked me to stay on for a couple months, and I said, fine, of course. And after a couple of days of liquidation, the CEO asked if I would kickstart the job search for the 34,000 people nationwide. And it's like, oh, okay, I can do this. So I took a leap of faith. I put my own job search on hold. And again, I was one of the 34,000 people now unemployed. Now to be unemployed.
Which
And
I have been out of the corporate world so long, and I've never worked for a big corporation. It was just a small family owned. But I give Circuit City kudos for helping with job search. Do other companies do that? I'm kind of oblivious to this. Is
no,
that
no.
normal?
So what happened in 2009 is I had a chance to tell every corporation in America that your responsibility does not end the day you announce liquidation. Because back in 2009, the gold standard was if you're going out of business, you stand up in front of your employees, you say, we're sorry, we're going out of business, start looking for a new job, and we'll try not to screw up your W-2 form when you get it in the mail from us next year. That's all anybody did. So I put my job search on hold and to take care of the 34,000 people. And I do it again in a heartbeat. And I did some innovative things, and I was named Hero of the Economy that year by CNN. And I was
Wow.
flattered by all the news, agencies wanted to interview me. And that was interesting. And I was flattered, but I was dedicated to helping my team members. So what that did for me it created a career calling that said I was not destined just to be rich, the HR guy in corporate America, the rest of my career. It showed me that I am destined to help people with their career search. So I began helping people in 2009 when they asked me. In about 2014, people started asking me, Rich, don't help me find a job. Can you help me find a business? And I said, no, I can't help you. I don't play in that space. I have no idea. Sorry. And I hate to say no to people regarding career thing, because career fulfillment is my gift. It's my DNA. And so I came across this opportunity at the end of 2014 to become a business matchmaker. And remember, by this time, I was a corporate HR guy, my entire career, and this was an entrepreneurial move. And so I literally said, why not today? Why not do this? What it would do for me is I would no longer have to say no to people in helping them with their career search. I can help people pursue business ownership. And what it did for people, it gave them an avenue. So I invested, I became a business matchmaker, opened up my own company, Business Ownership Connection, in early 2015, so that I don't have to turn away people, because so many people have turned from corporate to business ownership for a fulfilling career. So that was a big leap for me. I'm thrilled I did it. And again, it was a leap of faith, but I'm glad I did it, looking back. And I continue to help people, but I continue to help people based on their needs, jobs,
And I think that's what
career.
entrepreneurship is. It's a huge leap.
It
And
is.
people are scared to do it, but I always encourage people, just start. And you never know where it's going to go when the path and journey can be completely different, which yours evolved into different parts, and just, start.
I'm one of millions of people who've taken that jump from corporate to entrepreneurship, and it's different. It feels different. I mean, working in a home office in my case feels different than reporting to corporate headquarters, with 1,700 people or 11,000 people. It is different, but it's a leap. But the gratification that I've seen from people who made that jump, they make their own goals. They set their own schedule. They enjoy the flexibility, whether it's coaching their kids' little league baseball team or, making it a 3-day weekend every other week. Whatever it is, there's so many methods of fulfillment. And people often think, well, it's got to be lonely and opening your own business and running your own business. No, you have these things called your customers, your clients. You have your colleagues in the field. You have networking groups. There's an incredible amount of networking group opportunity. So
Well, I
it's
think
not a lonely
you've
life.
taken advantage of that,
Yeah.
and it can be very lonely. And I've learned how to do this, and you've done this, but some people don't. Is you get out and meet people and go, like, I love that you're involved in Rotary and you're volunteering. And I've always taught people in running businesses, like, your customers are not sitting in your house underneath your desk. You got to go find them and meet them and get involved. And even when during COVID, I spent couple of years down at Smith Mountain Lake, back and forth, but I was down there a lot of time, and I joined the chamber right away. And I'm like, I got to know people, like my friends that live there full time or been there for years. Like, how do you know all these people? I'm like, because I went out and met them.
I agree. In fact, I'd never heard of Rotary International prior to becoming an entrepreneur. It just happened to stumble on it within about a month or two after becoming an entrepreneur. And for me, it's been great. It's been a life changer. Today, I have three leadership positions, from Pennsylvania down through South Carolina, and it's changed me. And I'll tell you how. When I was in corporate America, I was never attached to a community service or a charity group. And I would have described myself as a giver. Oh, I'm absolutely a giver. Rich the giver, 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 giver. And when I joined Rotary, when I saw what the people in the Rotary clubs were doing, I would change that description. No, I'm not a giver. I'm a matcher. I'm willing to give, but only in return. So it that caught me joining Rotary and getting involved in Rotary International. converted me from a matcher to a giver. And we do some incredible work, you know, locally and nationally and internationally. But when I was in corporate America, I was frankly oblivious to all these great charities and service groups, because you got into your car and you went to work each morning and you drove home in the late afternoon or early evening, and wasn't part of who you became. So that's another byproduct. It gave me a chance to go out and explore different things.
Well, I was going to say, I've never thought of it that way, as being an entrepreneur and being able to give back and be more involved. But my dad owned his own business my whole life. He started the local chamber, not because he had local business, but because he was raising six kids in the community. And he was always volunteering, giving back on this committee, doing this. And he was, when we were younger, trying to encourage us, and we're like, yeah, no. But now I watch my life and my sister's. And so one, it comes naturally. We were taught that. But also, I don't think my siblings that work for somebody else is doing it at the same level that I am. And it's because I'm growing a business. And where are the people for your business? And, you know, when you're out volunteering, you're not doing it to grow your business, and it grows your business. Just naturally, because people know, like, and trust you, and they're like, oh, this person's out there giving, and, you know, here in the freezing cold or doing something. I met one of my team members that I've helped mentor for years when I was helping with the parade, local parade we were, and this is a fun fact about me, you know, that thing people can say they've done. I was a balloon handler for a local parade with those big, huge blow up balloons, and met one of my team members there. So you never know when you give back where it's going to come back.
Absolutely. And I actually give credit to Rotary. Rotary has made me a better version of myself, I don't mind saying. And since I joined Rotary 10 years ago, it helped inspire me to say, what could I do that's much bigger than what I'm doing today? And that's when I came up with the idea, I'm going to be a wish granter in memory of my mother. So
love that.
So I credit Rotary. So had I not become an entrepreneur, I may not have found Rotary. And if I had not found Rotary, I may not have found what will be my life's legacy.
Well, isn't that, it's interesting. And those are what I call the why not today moments. It's those things that we say yes to, the decisions we make that take our life in a different direction, and the journey. And being open to paying attention to them. I did a podcast episode a couple times about community and about a scavenger hunt, like, you know, being open to the people that are in front of you, not just having your face down and ignoring and having not paying attention, but paying attention to those opportunities that are out there for you and saying yes. And you're maybe uncomfortable, it may not be the thing you've ever done before, but saying yes, and then the blessings come from that journey.
Absolutely.
So as an entrepreneur, I always ask people, like, what is that one thing, you know, coming from a corporate guy, especially in HR, to starting your business, what's the one thing you wish you would have known before you started?
Well, and, you know, I became a business ownership coach. And the only thing I really didn't know is the apprehension of within married couples. If my client is married, there's a apprehension from their spouse to become a business owner, who's been a conventional corporate person for the majority of their career. They've gone from corporation to corporation, and now he or she gets the idea, you know what, I want to become a business owner. And they do it with the great intentions, want the flexibility, want to control their own destiny, but they have a spouse who says, you worked in corporate America for 32 years. You've always been able to go from job to job. You know, why would you want to deviate from that now? And what comes into people's mind is the risk of business ownership. Well, you know, me being in HR, there's times I had to point out the risk of being an employee for any company, be it small, medium, or large, are there. There's no guarantees you'll be successful as an entrepreneur, just like there's no guarantees you'll be successful as an employee, be it with your current employer or your next employer. mean, how many times have we seen people, unfortunately, in their first 3, 4, 5 months on a job, just not be the right fit for
Right.
whatever reason? If it was a lack of effort, just a wrong fit, wrong background, couldn't become passionate about the role, engulfed in corporate politics, because they rubbed one person the wrong way one time.
Yeah, no, no.
You know, so that's the, so I have to remind people, I don't sell people, because I don't sell anything. I'm a business ownership coach. I coach people through the process, become a business owner. But people have to realize, you know, that employment is a risk.
Absolutely.
So
Well, I've
I,
said that for years because I
yeah.
literally left my corporate job 26. It'll be 26 years ago this weekend, which is crazy. And people forever have asked, "Don't doesn't make you nervous being in, you know, not having a job, not having that steady income, being in charge?" I'm like, it makes me much more nervous to have somebody else be able to change things. And the company I worked for, they played those games. And you know, I live in the DC area, and we're recording this in. It'll come out October, November of 2025, if you're listening to it later on. And, you know, the safe government job, which often was, is not safe at the moment. You know, there are so many people furloughed. This last year has been hard. And, you know, the government shut down at the moment, and that's not very safe.
Well, what you're changing your reliance. You rely on your employer to stay in business, your employer to grow and remain competitive. You remain relying on your supervisor, your boss, to be respectful and support your growth. But when you go to work for yourself, you're just changing the reliance to yourself. Now you're going to rely on your own dreams, your own goals, your own discipline, your own drive. Frankly, it's a change of reliance,
Yeah,
and
true.
it's all it is. It is a mindset difference. In fact, people, when they come to me, ask me to match into a business that's rich. You know, I've worked in corporate America for all these years. My knowledge is high. My skills are high. My confidence is high. I just feel I'm smarter to bet on myself instead of bet on another boss. And that's not to sound negative about a manager or supervisor or a leader. I'm not anti-employment. I'm pro-employment. I've seen thousands and thousands of people just flourish in their career as a long-time, career-long company employee. It's a great career. But for some people, there comes a time to try something completely different. Take a leap of faith, go out on their own, and control their own destiny.
Yep, totally agree. So the other question I'm going to ask you is, for you or other people you've worked with in starting businesses, what's one thing you're glad you didn't know or you might not have ever started?
Gosh, that's a great question. That's a great question, Leslie. No, the only it's a small frustration. There are a lot of people that they're called tire kickers in our industry, that just they'll pose the question themselves, maybe I should become a business owner, and try to profess or try to show that they're serious about it, and but in the in but they become they just kind of throw in the towel, or you get gut or you get or you become ghosted. So by somebody who doesn't want to continue the exploration process. And remember, the exploration process to my clients is completely free. I don't charge them. Some will go the distance and become a business owner. Some will stop. Some will stop, you know, way short. Some will stop in the middle. But it's a free service, to them.
Well, and that's, I think, the why not to make the bottom line of the why not today message is you just got to start and take one step and take one other step. And I've talked to several people recently that fear that slows them down, and they're taking all these steps. But like I talked to some the other day, and she's got her company name, her logo, her all her social media links, her Yelp's account, and yet she hadn't even started an LLC yet. You know, and it's so we're doing all those things that we think we need, but we don't even have a business. And yeah. So I think, you know, taking that action, an imperfect action, but taking step one, as I said in the beginning, A to B, and then B to C, and C to D, as you grow your journey. So I know, oh, go ahead.
Were you gonna say? Yeah. Figure out what's marketable and what you're passionate about. So, right. And also, you know, weave in your talents and what's important to you, and you'll figure it out.
Yep. And you do figure it out, but you got to start. So I know also on top of everything else you do, that you've written multiple books. How many books have you written?
I've written three books, and that was another Why Not Today moment for me. It was about 4 years ago. I was telling a friend, you know, I think I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to write a book. But I'm not going to do it now. I'm going to wait a few years and I'm going to time it right. And you know what she said to me? She says, wait, why not do it today? So, okay. I decided by the end of that day that I'm going to write a book and I'm going to start now. So I published my first book. It's called Career Trust. And then the second book is Unleashing Your Career. And then the third book I recently published was The 1 Minute Jerk at Work. And here's why I love doing it. They're great projects and they're designed to help people. You know, I learned long ago that my life's purpose is to help people make the world better. Okay, that's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. But my career purpose is to help people find the career fulfillment that they want. And everything that I do is designed to help people find the career fulfillment. If it's HR leadership, if it's HR consulting, if it's career coaching, if it's, you know, in my humanitarian work, but the writing is another outlet to help people find career fulfillment. So the books have been great. And my good friend Mary, you know, if she hadn't said, why don't you do it now? You know, I may not have written the first one and then certainly would not have probably written three. So it's right. been a great ride. And people have given me some feedback recently. Hey, I think you need to keep this 1 minute jerk thing going, Rich. I think you may have a sequel in the making. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, I can't wait to see it. I think I've mentioned, I had somebody on my podcast, Travis, he wrote a book, How to Suck as a Leader.
It's easy. Leadership is not easy. And my message with the 1 minute jerk at work, look, stop tolerating it. It's that simple.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Don't tolerate jerk behavior.
Well, I think, again, we could talk forever. And after this second conversation with you, I'm thinking there's some things we might be able to do working together as you help people start businesses. I help people kind of support them as they keep going with my Why Not Today Inner Circle. So maybe we need to talk about how we could incorporate those two together. And on my to-do list one day, and I know it's not today, is write a book also, but not
today.
I hope
today. You get there.
I will get there. I've just got a lot of other projects ahead of time. I just did a training yesterday on stay in your lane, like work on this thing and then you got to work on this. So my book is probably L or K or something, but I got to get through a few things until I get there.
Well, I think it almost guaranteed, and there are no guarantees, but you have a high degree of probability. You'll find it fulfilling. And it will help others.
Yep, I am sure. So, well, I'm going to share all your contact information in the show notes. What's the best place for people to find you?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
Okay. You could Google Rich the HR guy, and my LinkedIn profile will come up. Or you can go to LinkedIn and at Rich Salon. You could put the 1 minute jerk at work, Rich the HR guy, and you'll find me. So okay. LinkedIn's been terrific Perfect. For connecting people.
All right. Well, thank you for all that you shared today. And thank you, everybody, for joining me on the Why Not Today podcast, your space for practical tools, real encouragement, and courageous growth. So whether you're launching something new or navigating a pivot, I hope you're leaving today's episode with a clear next step and a reminder that you're not alone. And if you're ready to take the next step, reach out to me on my website at whynotsaymovement.com. And this podcast is your bridge from inspiration to action. And I'm here to walk with you every step of the way. And remember, you don't need to have it all figured out. You just need to take one brave step. And why not today? So thanks, Rich. And thanks, everybody,
Thank
for
you,
watching
Leslie.
or
This has been
listening.
great.
Thanks. Bye.